Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus said, reply, the coming of the kingdom of God cannot be observed. No one will announce, look, here it is, or look, there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is among you. Then he said to his disciples, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. There will be those who will say to you, look, there he is, or look, here he is. Do not go off. Do not run in pursuit. For just as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer greatly and be rejected by this generation. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus was already in the temple precincts teaching, and the Pharisees were provoking him as they were used to. And they were particularly provoking him on the political aspirations of the people, to get people's expectations so high that Jesus couldn't meet them, to make them impatient so that he would have to reveal himself in their own mind as a fraud. In the same way that many of the great theologians think that Judas sold Jesus precisely in order to provoke his self-revelation. So they themselves were trying to get whatever Jesus was really about to come to the surface. And so when the Pharisees were asking when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus, because he wanted them to enter the kingdom, but also didn't want them to mislead others, said, the kingdom of God is not going to be able to be observed as a spectacle. There's not going to be a band of trumpeteers coming out playing Hail to the King. Instead, he said, rather than being a place where you're going to point to, or phenomenon that's going to have a starting point that they're going to be able to observe, the kingdom of God was already among them. There were two reasons why that was true. The kingdom of God first is coextensive where the king is. And the king was already present right there. The kingdom of God was standing before their eyes. The second is the kingdom of God is similarly coextensive where people receive that kingdom. And there were already many who had entered. The Our Father, as I've mentioned to you before, has two couplets in it. First couplet is in the part of praise for the Father. Those two sentences, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, repeat the same thing with different words, as the Jewish Psalms often do. Thy kingdom come, the Lord's kingdom is wherever his will is done. And there were many who were already doing his will, beginning with that virginal spouse and mother named Mary. So the kingdom of God was already at hand. It was already at work within them. And they needed to be able to have the lenses to see it erupt. Jesus, throughout the gospel, was constantly talking about those lenses. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. That they were already, in a sense, rich in the kingdom, provided that they were treasuring the presence of the Lord with them. Unless you convert and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. But there were many, like, for example, Nathanael without guile, who had already turned around and turned toward the kingdom. Jesus had described how the kingdom of God would be like that mustard seed or that leaven, like that treasure buried in a field. But we needed to be able to look for that treasure, to see that leaven at work, to have a sense that even in the tiny mustard seed, something great was already happening. That the kingdom of God would be like that sower who had gone out to sow, that fisherman who cast his net into the sea. The kingdom was there, but many were oblivious to it. Today in the first reading, we see how the reality of the kingdom changes everything. Onesimus had escaped. If there were an escape slave and he were caught, he would be marked with an F for fugitivus, and he could be executed by his master at a whim. The punishment for the crime of fleeing slavery was death. He had somehow found Paul in his Roman house arrest. Paul had known both him and his master. And Paul, with great faith, both in the Lord as well as in Philemon, sent Onesimus back with a letter describing how the kingdom changes things. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul had already written that in God's kingdom there is no male or female, no Jew or Greek, no slave or free. There's an equality in his kingdom, and we need to behave that way if we're truly sons and daughters of that kingdom. And so trusting that Philemon very deeply was already living in his kingdom and not in the Roman Empire according to the mentality of the Roman Empire, he sent Onesimus back to Philemon. And he sent him with words that describe exactly the type of metamorphosis that happens when we recognize that the kingdom of God is already with us. I sent him back no longer as a slave, but way more than a slave, a brother, beloved especially to me, but even more so to you as a man and in the Lord. Got to look at him fundamentally as a brother. And would you execute your brother? If you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. If he's done you any harm, charge it to me. I'll pay. But remember, you owe me your very self. Onesimus means profitable in Greek. So that's why he finishes this letter with a little play on words. Yes, brother, may I profit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Paul was looking at this situation with the eyes of the kingdom, and he was confident that Philemon would as well. And Onesimus making that journey from Rome back to Asia would have similarly trusted in God's presence with him. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Albert the Great. What characterizes St. Albert was not that he was a walking encyclopedia, as literally was considered during his lifetime, but that he looked at the physical world, he looked at all the sciences of which he was the master, looked even at the biblical sciences of which he was the great teacher of the angelic doctor, looked at them with the eyes of faith, looked at them as someone seeing the kingdom in all of these realities, because he was connecting every single one of these disciplines to the king. There was an incarnational sense, a sacramental perspective on all that he was studying and all that he was teaching. At the beginning of this Mass, we prayed that God had given Albert the grace to connect divine wisdom to human study. That's what he was doing. And that's one of the reasons why, through the natural sciences and not just his commentaries on the sentences of Lombard and Sacred Scripture, he became a doctor of the Church. Because he's able to show us, in a way perhaps greatest of all time, that all truth comes from the same source and can't contradict each other. And when you follow any truth back to its fount, you find God. What about us? It is always a temptation for us to become routinized in everything we do, even though in our external vesture, everybody else looks at us in relationship to the Lord. We can look at ordinary realities pretty much the way everybody else does. So the question for us with regard to the kingdom is, do we look at politics differently than everybody else does? Do we look at these realities with the eyes of the kingdom? Do we look at sports? Do we look at snowstorms? Do we look at difficulties and hardships? Do we look at joys? Do we look at getting up early in the morning? Do we look at everything that happens to us over the course of the day differently because of the kingdom? Because God is really present among us. Do we look at the reception of two new apostolic novices as a little reminder of the glory of the kingdom? The greatest way that we are able to have this perspective is through the way that we approach math. Every day, the same Lord Jesus who was incarnate in the Blessed Virgin's womb and held in her arms comes to us. We behold the Lamb of God who comes continuously to take away our sins. While we can't say, as Jesus says, look there or look here, we can at the same time look toward him who comes not just to be adored on the altar, but to be welcomed and embraced within us so that every reality will change from the inside out. As we prepare to receive him, let us rejoice, because blessed are those whose help is this God of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham and the apostles and Mary and Joseph, whom we are so privileged to call our king.